So way back in 1993, Wisconsin produced 83 million pounds of specialty cheeses. It sounds like a lot, but by 2009, specialty cheese production in Wisconsin totaled about 477 million pounds. That sounds like an awful lot, but as I mentioned last year, Wisconsin produced 1 billion pounds of specialty cheese. Where does it all go? Here to help tell us that and more is the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison and professor of food science, John Lucy. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lee, for having me.
So you're celebrating 40 years here, and I want to invite others to the conversation. If they have their cheese questions about our dairy land, they can join the show at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us talk@wpr.org. And John, I know you weren't there at the very beginning, but if you could take us back to 1986 when the Center for Dairy Research was established, what were the needs that this research center was looking to address?
A big issue for the industry was really concerned about long-term viability. Wisconsin had obviously been America's dairyland for a long time, but a lot of the new milk was coming out west. Bigger plants, bigger farms, cheaper cost of production, larger cheese plants. So there was a lot of concerns within our dairy industry here is, could we survive? Could we thrive? What would we do? And what would we make? So that was part of the genesis of the center, is really working with dairy farmers and the university and industry and saying, like, we need to take a stop and we need to think about what we are going to do for the future. Otherwise, it's not looking like a very successful future.
I do remember an ad campaign about happy cows from California way back in the day. I think that's some time ago now, but they did have a pretty robust ad campaign for dairy from California.
Yeah, but I think the big focus here was not talking about whether the cows were happy or not. It was what products could we make and would those products be viable and value added and return more money back to the farmers and keep our industry viable. I think it was a very serious kind of time in the industry at that time. And the center stepped up to say, look, we can do research, we can develop new products, we can train the industry, we can get you started on this journey to create products. Maybe there's less competition, maybe it's a little bit different rather than bulk commodity products, because that's a very difficult market and probably we'd have a lot fewer plants and probably a lot fewer farmers with that kind of route. So the idea was to really take us on a new journey, and innovation and the university were going to be part of it. That was the kind of pitch, if you like, or the kind of genesis for this. And the Wisconsin dairy farmers really understood that. They really understood it themselves, that something had to change if we were to stay as America's dairyland for the next 40 years as we talk about our anniversary.
So dairy innovation could be an opportunity to expand for the dairy markets in Wisconsin, for our dairy farmers in Wisconsin. And what kind of research are we talking about, John?
Well, a lot of the early years was on focusing on, obviously, about 90% of our milk here in Wisconsin goes into cheese. So a lot of the focus has to be on what are we making and is that like a viable variety or type of cheese for the future? And we changed dramatically to now making specialty cheese a huge part of our industry. You mentioned the 1 billion pound weight of cheese. It's absolutely amazing number. It's about half of all the specialty cheese made in the U.S. is made here in Wisconsin. Now that is, if you go back to that, you know, 40-year timeline of the CDR, when we started out, Wisconsin was known as like big production of commodity cheese. And we probably made at volume, maybe 10 cheeses at large volume here in Wisconsin. Now we make hundreds.
Yes.
So we kind of changed that mentality of let's just make a commodity cheese and a few of them to let's make lots of different cheeses and then make cheeses that consumers want and grow that market, basically.
Could you explain what's the difference between commodity cheeses and specialty cheeses?
Well, I think specialty, what we're talking about here is like, if you're thinking of as a consumer, you're going to the store, a commodity product, you probably have five brands or maybe more to pick, and you're just going to pick maybe the cheapest or the one you're used to or whatever. That isn't a really long-term great thing. If you're one of the plants in that list, you're competing often on price because it looks the same, seems the same, and the motivation could be they're selling a little bit cheaper than you, so you're kind of squeezed.
Yeah.
So we're talking about specialty is something that is a little bit different, unique. And the specialty is a kind of a vague term to say it could be something about how it's made, how its appearance, how it's packaged. Many different factors can come into it. But one of the other factors is it's not produced in large volume here in the US at this time too. So it's saying something different. So for example, at cheddar, some types of cheddar can be a specialty product. We have bandaged cheddars, which are not put in the plastic packaging material. We're literally they're bandaged and wrapped and have a different kind of flavor profile to something like a blue cheese or something like that. It can be that it looks completely different and you haven't experienced it, or it could be an existing, let's call it a commodity cheese, but we do something different with it to make it unique. And all of those are great kind of options.
John Lucey, you're now the director for the Center for Dairy Research. Tell us a little bit about your history when you came to the UW-Madison and when you took over the center.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a small dairy farm in Ireland. So my eldest brother runs that farm, and he's transitioning it to one of his sons as well. And we've been on that farm, as far as we can tell, since about 1880. So we have multi-generations of dairy farmers in that farm. So I grew up very much into, let's call it the dairy industry. And also I was very curious about understanding where the milk went to and what happened with it. So I went to school and did my PhD in Ireland. And about just over 25 years ago now, I arrived here in Wisconsin to become an assistant professor at the university. And just over 15 years ago, I took over as center director for the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research.
What's been the focus of your research there?
Me, I'm a kind of a dairy chemist, so it's a kind of a strange thing. Like, it's a food chemist. I understand chemistry and microbiology a little bit too, but a lot about understanding these proteins in particular that are present in milk and in cheese and in yogurt. So understanding, because they're the key to making these products and to give them texture and functionality. So I do a lot of research on the functionality in terms of texture, melting, and manufacture of these products, working with our dairy industry on those problems as well.
And tell us a little bit about the relationship between this center and our cheese producers and how outreach works and how you cooperate together.
Yeah, each year we probably work with somewhere in the region of 300 different dairy producers or plants, mostly here in Wisconsin, but we also work outside of the state as well. We get some national dairy money as well. So our primary focus is here, obviously. But we work with them on a whole array of different issues or topics, and that includes training. So obviously, like in many other sectors, we have people who are experienced and been there a long time retire, and new people coming into the workforce. And that's true in the dairy processing side, the manufacturing plants as well. So we run somewhere in the region of 30 to 40 training programs a year, specifically just for the dairy companies and the industry. And those include things like advanced cheese making on American style cheeses, or advanced Italian like mozzarella and Parmesan and stuff. Or it could be recently we've added more programs on things like yogurt and cultured products, as those categories have grown as well. So each year we put together short course programs and training programs. Typically, they last a couple of days. People come here to Madison, and we actually lecture to them and talk to them, bring in some industry experts as well. And then we go off to our pilot plant here at Babcock Hall, and we make products with them as well and teach them and show them what we've been talking about in the lectures. And remember, there's been a dairy school here at Wisconsin since 1890. So this is not a new thing for the University of Wisconsin to be involved in training our dairy industry. It's a continuation of that tradition.
And now, part of
I was just going to say, the other major category we do is we develop products for the industry. So we have a brand new pilot plant opened about 2 years ago, nearly 3 years ago now, here at Babcock Hall. And we spend a lot of time developing products like specialty cheese for our industry as well. They come here and they make their products and we work with them and perfect the recipes for them.
One of the programs from the center that I'm aware of is the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program. What kind of difference do you see that making in Wisconsin, John?
Well, one of our staff describes it as getting your PhD as a cheesemaker, getting your PhD in cheese. And as a person who has a PhD as well, I think there's a lot of similarities in it. So what this is for people who are very experienced in their craft of making cheese. They have to be making cheese licensed here in Wisconsin for at least 10 years. So this is not like somebody thinks they know it and want to do it. You have to have been making cheese for a long time. And then there's a very rigorous program, and there's a board oversees this that has existing master cheesemakers, some people from the university as well involved in it, to really oversee and make sure it stays rigorous. So there's an interview process, and that would be someone from the university plus a master cheesemaker typically as well will interview a potential candidate at their plant to see how well they know the science of it. We're not talking that they don't know how to make cheese, but we're digging deeper to see if they understand the science behind it. And if they pass that initial exam, it takes typically about 3 years for them to go through, and they have to take a range of courses or short courses at the university. They have to have their plant inspect it by us to see if they are, you know, if their facilities are good or how they're approaching and organizing making the cheese. Their products are graded and tested to make sure they're making high quality products. Partway during their program, their 3-year program, they have another check-in kind of interview to see how they're progressing. And their final program is they have to do a kind of a written project. And it typically takes them, they tell us, somewhere between 30 to 40 hours to finish this written assignment or project, very often based on their own plant or cheese or whatever. So this is a very rigorous program. When they get the award, it's done at the April Cheese Show, which is held either here in Madison or Milwaukee, in front of hundreds of people with their family on stage, and they get a medal and a ring. It's really a huge deal for these cheesemakers. It's kind of like they are now like looked up to as the leaders and innovators within their plant and to be frank, within our industry too.
Do we have a count on how many have graduated in this PhD in cheese from the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program?
It's over 100 over a last period of time. So we limit the amount of people we take on every year because it's a very detailed program, a very comprehensive program. So typically we take about 10, and you can come back in to be renewed as a master in a different variety. So for example, if you were a master of blue cheese, for example, that does not mean you know how to make cheddar cheese, for example. So there may be some courses that are similar, but you have to get certified as a master in that particular cheese. So we've had many of our cheesemakers have come back in to get certified as a master in another variety over the time.
John Lucey, our guest professor of food science and the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison, now celebrating its 40th year. And if you have questions about getting a PhD in cheese or our cheese industry in our dairy land, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I saw from this year's American Cheese Society judging and competition, well, it was just this month or last month, Wisconsin cow cheese and dairy product makers won 106 awards. How many awards were there? I feel like we may have swept this thing, John.
We dominated for sure. We dominated for sure. And across all kinds of categories. The thing I like to think about, yes, it's a large number, but the thing I like to have people make aware of it, we compete in so many different categories. So like if you go to some other states, they might compete in a few categories and they may be good at those and they may be winning medals in it and all praise to them. But what you see is when you talk about like over 100 awards, we're competing in just a vast array of different categories with high quality products. That comes back to our kind of focus on diversification and going into value added products. You can see that by the number of awards that they're winning. I think that's what I take from it. It's not, yes, they're super successful, but look at the breadth and the range of products, and they're making high quality products in these competitions. And that's, to me, it's not very surprising. In the US cheese contests, which is a separate competition, they do super well. And in the world competitions, they do super well. I mean, it's just, we have outstanding cheesemakers. And of course the farmers produce such great milk here. It's a great team.
Yeah, that, you bring up an interesting point, the quality of milk and its connection to our quality of cheeses, John.
Yes. So we are funded primarily by the Wisconsin dairy farmers. So we are deeply connected back to our dairy farmers and producers. And they are super proud to see their milk go into these high quality products. So it is a very close relationship between the farmers, and many of them obviously are supplying co-ops. So they literally, the farmers own the plants as well, but they're very committed to making high quality milk and making sure that we as the center are helping our cheese industry and our dairy industry make super high quality products. And winning awards is kind of a little bit of a way to validate that, not just about sales, that sure, people are able to compete and win that as well. So I think all of them are super interested in this. All of them are super committed to this. Let's make Wisconsin and our products super, you know, exceptional and high quality. I think that's a mantra around our industry. And you can see that by the support we get from farmers.
And the implication would be that Wisconsin's cows are happy too. Come on, California.
I think they're very happy here. I don't know about all that smoke in the last couple of days, but
that's for all of us, including the cows. Let's go to your questions now for the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison, John Lucey, and we'll start with Stephen Colby. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. And I'm wondering, do farms that dairy farms have an environmental impact sometimes? Manure spills, manure runoff. I'm wondering if the farms that are into specialty cheeses have less of an environmental impact than farms that are doing bulk commodity cheese, or if it's a draw.
John?
Yeah, so I'll give you one example. Like Crave Brothers out in Waterloo, they are a farmstead operation, and instead of having their milk shipped to a processor and seeing tankers go out every morning to supply a local cheese plant, they work with us and they built their own cheese plant at the farmstead operation, but they have a digester on that plant. So they're supplying all the stuff that they don't can't treat from both the farm and the plant to a digester, and are kind of leaders in that whole sustainability angle, because obviously they're a very large farm as well. So I think if you look at our farms are relatively small compared to the rest of the U.S. Average size is a couple hundred cows, compared to if you go out west, where the size of the farms, you know, are often ranging in the thousands of cows. So that means you have a lot of, not only a lot of cows, but obviously a lot of manure you have to deal with as well. But our farms, most of them, the average size is much smaller, so it's a lot easier to deal with. But that question was about like becoming a specialty cheese and how to handle it. They handle both the farm and the cheese plant byproducts using a digester. Very innovative and very farsighting.
Yeah, so you're not transporting that milk at all. It's just right there on the farm to begin to produce the cheese.
Exactly. So, you know, instead of like, people probably don't realize, but the milk is nearly 90% water. So you're transporting a lot of water up and down the roadways, on the roads, transportation costs, etc. So back when they were thinking about this, saying that's a, why aren't we getting a higher piece of the margin or the profit on this? And B, look, this isn't great that we're just shipping water and trucking it to a plant. And maybe we can keep it here, reduce those costs, make, but you have to think about it. Then now you have to make cheese and stuff. You're not just a farmer and we're running a farm business. So we got involved to help them in kind of developing recipes and troubleshooting for them. And they've obviously gone on in leaps and bounds over the last couple of decades. But that's one of the ways, as people make those decisions at farms to become a farmstead, we get super involved in that effort because it is a big transition for them.
How many people are at the Center for Dairy Research, John?
We have around 60 staff at the center. And during the year, we may hire up to 20 undergrads in various programs across our center, working in the labs or in the computer desk, in the plant, helping with our short courses. And these typically come from many departments across our campus as well.
Let's go to Steve, thank you for the call. We'll go to Dennis in Afton, Minnesota next. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, everybody at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. And for energy conservation purposes and local healthy foods, I once mentioned to Bill McCubbin at his book signing, he's Mr. Energy. I says, friends don't let friends buy cheese from New Zealand. You know, all of this transport, can't be healthy for the food. And the energy put into going across the ocean, we got cheese in Wisconsin. So I mentioned this quite a while back, so I'm glad to see the specialty cheese is developing. So I'm wondering how much of our specialty cheese is imported, or for that matter, exported? Because I'm trying to encourage local foods.
Sure. John, we've got to be exporting some of that specialty cheese, aren't we?
We are exporting cheese now, and we have been for a couple of decades. And, in not just about cheese, but if you look at like U.S. dairy, about 20% of U.S. dairy product in some shape or form is exported. So one fifth of all dairy produced in the U.S. is exported. The thing about that is if we didn't have those export markets, the milk prices here at home would come down substantially because you'd lost a fifth of your market. But we have been very active, and the specialty cheese is a great sector for it. Before Wisconsin and the U.S. started to make all these unusual cheeses, we imported all of them from around the world.
Right.
And so I grew up in Ireland and I lived in New Zealand. So I hear about the New Zealand thing for 4 years. These are all farmers in every country. So I have nothing against any of those. And they're trying to do their work. But that doesn't mean we can't produce as good, if not better, products here in Wisconsin and in the U.S. And I think that's what we've been focused on doing. Give the consumers a choice. If you want to buy this French cheese that comes from France, or you want to buy this exceptional cheese that's made right here in Wisconsin, you then have a choice. And you can decide if you want to buy it from local or if you want to buy it. And over the past couple of decades, we've seen more and more people switching to pick up U.S. cheese because they didn't think the U.S. cheese was as good as the foreign cheese. I don't think that's the question right now. I think the question is right now is what you want to choose, because we have these products here at hand and they're local.
We've got about a minute left, John, but I want to get a glimpse into the future of the Center for Dairy Research and some of the things that are on the horizon as you see it.
Yeah, one of the areas we're really focusing on right now is cultured products are hot. We've all seen Greek yogurt. Yep. We are working on ultra high protein yogurt, which people talk about GLP-1 and stuff like that. Like people on those diets, they don't eat as much food. They want more protein. So we're looking at how to make the next generation of Greek yogurt or concentrated yogurts even higher in protein and how to make them in the formats that people are interested. That's a topic. Another topic is when we make cheese and Greek yogurt, we make whey as a byproduct, and we've extracted protein out of that, and that's become a multi-billion-dollar business globally, but we leave around a lot of the sugar. So we're very interested right now in using the sugar as a feedstock for further fermentation. So, for example, we're looking with some colleagues to actually make biofuels from that, like butanol. And we have some plants here in Wisconsin that are using this cheese waste or the cheese material to make alcohol. But we're also thinking about biofuels. And we gave some support to the Michigan milk producers, which just opened an ethanol-producing plant that comes entirely from whey.
Wow.
That's about a $40 million plant that is opened this spring in Michigan. So we're interested in, we think that's a great story, taking waste products and making something valuable. And it could be something else. It could be protein. It could be an acid. It could be something. Making more value.
John Lucey, it is a pleasure to speak with you. And here we've been talking about cheeses of Wisconsin, and we've got fuel to talk about and maybe a cocktail as well. So thank you so much for sharing it with us today. I look forward to catching up with you again.
It's great to chat with you, Lee. Thank you.
John Lucey, professor of food science and the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison, now in its 40th year. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.